at some point, you know, when you get into this opportunity where you make things happen for yourself and you're truly, really doing what you want, and you realize that, okay, I've worked really hard to get to here, and there are still days where I'm not feeling my best, you know, and that's totally normal. And we're not always like, we can't always be on a high. So life is what it is, you know, you have your ups and your downs. And that's when, you know, I really started being more thankful with everything that was going on in my life.
This is the Cracking Creativity Podcast, episode number 53 with Catherine Rohr. Welcome to the Cracking Creativity Podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Chung, and I'm here to show you how creatives turn their ideas into action, create interesting projects, and build an engaged audience through shared passions. Now let's get creative. In this episode of the Cracking Creativity Podcast, I talked to Catherine Rohr. Catherine was an award-winning communications and PR expert for multinational corporations for years, but that job never felt fulfilling to her. So, when the opportunity to study at Christie's in Paris opened up, she jumped on it. While in Paris, she gained hands-on experience working with contemporary art galleries. After her studies, she brought that knowledge back with her to Canada and worked at an art gallery in Montreal. While there, many artists approached her for her help. This began Catherine's journey as the artist entrepreneur. In this episode, find out why gratitude is so important, why there isn't just one path to success, and why artists should find support in their communities. Now on to the episode. Welcome to another episode of Cracking Creativity. Today I have on Catherine Rohr, and she is a business and PR strategist and the founder of The Artist Entrepreneur. And this is my favorite part of her description. She works around and gets it done, fairy godmother. And she also leads the Artist Entrepreneur Network. Catherine, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got to where you are now?
Yes. Well, first I want to thank you, Kevin, for having me on your podcast. I'm very excited to be here today. The way I got to lead, to do the artist entrepreneur was kind of a long path, I would say. I started in college wanting to work in the arts, but I had a teacher who told me, you know, Catherine, I'm going to have to talk to you like you're my daughter, and please don't go in the arts. He was actually my art history teacher telling me this. So he said, please don't go to the arts. In the arts, you have so much promise, and there are no jobs there. So being, you know, like 18 and insecure, I kind of listened to him because I looked up to him. And so I went to university in PR and communications, and I started my career. I was very lucky, very young, to have a great management positions in multinational corporations. So that was a great learning curve for me. I learned a lot in PR and marketing and sales, but the heart just wasn't into it, right? So I did that for many years, but I was very tired. I was an overachiever, but I just wasn't having any fun. And one day when I knew that, like, it was been a while that I was just not having fun in my job, and I knew that I wanted to go back into the arts, and I came across this opportunity to go study the art market at Christie's in Paris. And so I just decided that this was going to be my next step in my life. So I really set some goals. It took me a year to make it all happen. But finally, I sold my home. I quit my job, packed everything, and went to Paris and studied the business of art, the art market in Paris. And it was an absolutely amazing experience because it was really hands-on, and I got to meet people who really were in the art market every day. I worked in art galleries in Europe, visited art fairs. So this really opened up a whole new world of possibilities for me. I came back to Montreal, where I am now, and I worked on the art market for a while. At some point, I had to go back to do some communication PR work. But I was always like going back and forth. And now it's been over a year now that I've launched the Artist Entrepreneur, actually after having worked with artists in art galleries and one-on-one with artists. And artists were telling me, Catherine, we just want to continue working with you. We need your support. And so I, with them, basically by talking to artists, working with artists, I basically set up my business to really support their needs in terms of strategic consulting in business, marketing, PR, visibility, and sales.
Awesome.
So that's where I am today. Yeah. I wish I could see that teacher again and tell him that I didn't listen to his advice, turns out.
Yeah, that's a good idea. What got you interested in art in the first place? You said you started, you were in school learning art history.
It's a question that Christie's asked me when I decided to fill out the application. And I realized then that it was really at a very young age. I think I was 6 or 7, and we had a school trip. The school took us to the Museum of Fine Arts. And at the time, there was a big show on Paul-Émile Bourdieu, which in Quebec is a very important artist of the 1950s, is like a pioneer of abstract art here in Quebec. And I remember standing in front of his self-portrait, and it just blew my mind. And I was just 7 or 6 or something like that. And from that time on, like I've always been drawn to visual arts. It's always been like a very big interest of mine. Art history has always been part of my life. I always like to read on art history. I always like to visit galleries, shows. Like I've always been compelled and interested and since I was 6. And a side note, this made me realize that it's so important to bring, you know, children at a young age to be in contact with culture and the arts, because that's when, you know, your mind is so open to everything that's new and creative. So I'm very thankful that I was in a school that was really open to bringing children to really get interested and discover and really appreciate what art is. Hmm.
How did you find out about the opportunity at Christie's?
Oh, that's a really good question. How did I find out? I think I was at a point where I was like, okay, something's gotta change. I'm not doing this corporate thing anymore. And I really took some time to do some introspection, and I was like, okay, forget school, forget what I know. If I could just tomorrow have a magic wand and work anywhere and do anything, what would that be? And the first thing that came to mind was really working at Christie's. I thought it would be so amazing and magical to be working with in the arts and with decorative art all day long, which actually is, because I had the opportunity to do that for a year and be in contact with Christie's and be in their offices. And it really is magical. So I just started browsing their website, trying to figure out what kind of credentials you needed to work there. And that's when I saw that they had a program at the time, a 1-year program in Paris. And I was really ready to make this leap. I wasn't really wanting to move to a new job yet. I just needed some time for myself and time to figure it out. So I made a plan. It took me a year to be able, from the day I saw that Christie's had a program and the day that I was actually living in Paris, it took me a whole year to figure it all out. But it was a priority for me, so I made sure I could make it happen. And yeah, I've never looked back. It was probably one of the best experiences in my life.
What were the requirements for getting that position, or did you have to do? Were you competing against anybody else, or is this like constantly re-enrolling?
I think you needed a certain background, so we had to do an interview. So I'm in Montreal, and I had to fly in to, so usually they would do the interviews in Paris, but it was impossible for me because I had this corporate job. So I flew in one day in New York, and I had to do a series of interviews and a few tests, to make sure that my knowledge was, you know, of art history, I had like at least some knowledge and understanding of art history, because the program is quite fast paced. So you need to have like at least some sort of understanding of how, what is art history and a little bit of the art market. So, and we were a small group. We were, I would say, maybe 15 people in the group. Mm-hmm. So I flew in to New York, and a few weeks later, they called me up and they said, yeah, you're in. And it was an amazing day.
What kind of things did you do while in that program?
So it was basically, the day was usually divided in two portions. So in the morning, we would have like master classes. Either it would be art history, or there would be an Christie's expert that would come talk to us about their own specialty. So during the day, the mornings, it was like really more of a master class type of workshop, traditional workshops. And in the afternoons, it was really hands-on, being on the in the field. So we would either go in museums for our class. We would go to Christie's, that we would be in contact with the art. So it was really a program where you were in constant contact with the arts. So we would go at Christie's to look at the work they had and to do workshops. We would go to art galleries. We would meet with art experts. So it was really like every day, it was a two-part day. You had the theory in the morning, and then really the practical in the afternoon. Hmm.
Can you recall a special moment from that time that you were there that really sticks out over any others?
Oh my! I think one of the moments was. Oh my God, there were so many, but I remember the first evening we had a cocktail in the Christie's offices, and I was like, I knew nobody there, and I just arrived and I was so intimidated, and I had just imposter feeling. I was like, oh my God, like I spent the whole year leading up to this, and what am I doing here? Yeah. Like, who am I to be here, right? And, well, soon enough, I mean, I realized that we were all feeling that way, right? So so it made it, and I met these amazing people through the program, and it was just like, everybody was so nice, and very quickly, I just got the hang of it, and you get just, it's weird because at some point you kind of get used to being in this environment, but I made it a point to be so thankful every day and really absorb as much as I could, because I knew that I had this like once in a lifetime opportunity. So I needed to really take most advantage of it. But, and there were so many incredible moments of visiting. You know, we went for 2 days to visit all the, well, not all of them because there's so many, but many chateaus in La Loire, Val de Loire. And it's just being there and knowing that, you know, you're in, it's when you live in Canada, I mean, the history is so short, right? Like in North yeah. America, our history is so short. And when you're in these, in Europe, then you realize how much history and how much culture, and it makes you also, it's also made me understand so much about contemporary art also, because everything is so interconnected, right? So once you understand the origins and how everything led one step, you know, after the other, it all led to what contemporary art is today. So having this global understanding of the arts and how the art market was a great way for me to really better understand even what's going on today in the art world.
Well, there's a couple very interesting points that you made in there. The first is the imposter syndrome.
Yeah.
I think no matter where you are, even if you're super famous, you're like, how did I get here? And why does everybody look at me like this?
Yes, that's true.
And it's because you don't really know until you've actually gone through something what it will be like. No one can predict or anticipate anything that's going to happen because you haven't done it yet, and therefore that's why they have training, and you lead up to this point where you're able to do that.
Exactly. We have a tendency to want to know things before we even learn them, but that's not how life is, right? And once you realize that everybody has this fear in themselves, then you know that you have to push through that fear, right? You can't just let it decide for you, because if you do, then you're not going to have much fun in your life. It's really going to be boring.
Yeah, it's you have to push through that if you want to make it. It's that's what separates the people who make it from those who don't. They're not
exactly.
Special. It's just that they kept on going when everyone else just quit.
Yeah, oh my God, I say that to my community over and over again.
Another thing I like that you said was the element of gratitude in your situation. Can you talk a little bit about the importance of gratitude and how that helps you manage what you do?
Yeah, I think gratitude is like so important, and it's not something that it's something I learned recently, probably leaving my corporate job and taking a leap of faith to do something else was probably a turning point in terms of learning gratitude for me, because I was always thinking that, you know, life would be better and I'd be more happy when I'd finish school and I'd get a job. And when I got the job, it was when I would finish that project. So always looking for that next thing. When that next thing would happen, I would be happy. But at some point, you know, when you get into this opportunity where you make things happen for yourself and you're truly, really doing what you want, and you realize that, okay, I've worked really hard to get to here, and there are still days where I'm not feeling my best, you know, and that's totally normal. And we're not always like, we can't always be on a high. So life is what it is, you know, you have your ups and your downs. And that's when, you know, I really started being more thankful with everything that was going on in my life, because I was like, okay, this was a major decision in my life. I had to make huge sacrifices. I'm going to be here for 11 months. It's going to go by so quickly. I need to make the most out of this. And it was really a turning point for me in my attitude. And it's something that really stuck with me. And today as an entrepreneur, like it's part of my daily life, because I have so many things to juggle, you know, like my business, I have two young kids. I mean, if I don't take some time to be grateful and thankful for everything in my life, like I would go crazy, because I'm always running around and, you know, trying to figure out everything. And I want to, you know, I want to be a good I want to be a good business partner for my clients. I want to create valuable content. I want to be present for my kids. I'm hoping to have some time with my husband. So at some point you just need to be like, okay, what I'm doing, it's enough. And I'm just really thankful that I'm doing what I love, you know, and that I have these people around me who support me. And yeah, so, and that's something that, you know, every Thursday we have the Thankful Thursday on the Artist Entrepreneur Network Facebook group. And at first, you know, some of the members were like, why are we doing this? Hmm. And I said, well, you know what? Like, it's really important to me. And if you are part of my group, I'm hoping that you'll soon discover how being thankful and just being in the present, because being thankful is just being in the present, right? It's just looking at what's happening right now and just embracing it all and opening up yourself to more abundance too, right? Because when you appreciate, then you realize that, wow, my life is pretty awesome, you know? So, and now today, it's funny because most people on the group tell me that that's their favorite theme. Like, that's what they like the most when we go and we do our round of what we're thankful for. So I'm happy that I brought, you know, a few people into discovering how gratitude can change your life.
Awesome. Do you have a mindfulness practice, or do you just try to incorporate that into different moments of your day?
I would say that this is something that I aim towards, but I have a lot of difficulty to not be doing something. So, for me, sitting down and like just meditating for like 15 minutes is a very difficult task. I try to do it. I do it more in the evening, because during the day it's kind of a whirlwind around here. So in the evening I try to do it, but during the day, even if it's just 1 minute, as I go from doing one thing to another, if before I meet a client or after I finish a task, I try to take some time, even if it's just 1 minute, to just regroup and center myself, and then, okay, what's next? You know, because I need that for my sanity.
How long after getting back from Paris did you dive in deeply into your Artist Entrepreneur Network?
Oh, it took a while, because I went through other, I had like, again, my path wasn't a straight line. So I got back from Paris, and so a few months I was like in between jobs and figuring it all out, finding an apartment. And then I worked on the art market. So I worked in one of the biggest art galleries. I got a job in one of the big art galleries in Montreal. So I worked there for over a year. And that's also when I started to do some consulting work with artists, also one-on-one. And then there was a little break because I had my kids, and I had an opportunity to work in an NGO, which was totally unrelated to the arts, but that's what it was, something I wanted to try. So while I had my children, I did some work for a environmental NGO. And then when I was ready to, but always continuing to be involved in the arts, I'm on the board of a foundation for emerging artists. So I continued to stay involved and continue with my network. And once I had my two kids and I was ready to go back to work, that's when I started connecting again with artists and on a more professional level, not socially, and really check in with them and talk about some ideas I had. And that's when also I got so much feedback on, like, yeah, when are you coming back? Like, we want you. And that's how I started ramping up my business.
Were you meeting these artists at galleries or at the through the board, or how were you actually getting in contact with them?
Well, it was really my first contact with artists was through the art gallery I was working in, because it was a contemporary art gallery. So that's the first contact I had, because really, to tell you the truth, Kevin, when I studied at Christie's, like, my view for the future, like, my vision wasn't at all to work with artists. I was working, my vision was more to be either a rep or art consultant or have my own gallery. And once I started working in an art gallery, I learned so much. Like, the owner of the gallery was a wonderful mentor to me. He still is. And at some point I realized that the fact that it was like an actual, like, how can I say this? Like, a retail where you have to come in every day and unlock the door and all this overhead of what a gallery is, right? Mm-hmm. I needed more liberty in my work. Like, I needed something that was much more flexible. And when artists started, you know, talk to me and say that they would like to work with me, I was like, oh wow, that was an avenue, a path that I had never considered. And I tried and I realized that I was bringing so much value to the table. Like, artists were so thankful to me for everything I was doing. And for me, like, my knowledge of the art market, plus all the background I have from the corporate world, I was bringing in a whole new, like, I was shifting paradigms all over the place. Like, the way I was thinking and the way I was pushing the artist to take action and it was really different. So that's how I started locally. And then I decided to create the Artist Entrepreneur Network. That's a Facebook group. And I started that in June. And it's just been exploding, Kevin. Like, I don't know, like, how this even happened. Like, I'm grateful every day. Like, I have almost 7,000 artists on this group. I have new artists coming in every day. They're super engaged. They're super keen to learn. They want to take action, and they are from all over the world. And what I really truly love is all this support, this community, and this it's really become a network where I here to support them, but it's not just my group, it's their group. Like, everybody gets involved, and when somebody needs help, everybody comes in to support and help and give advice and insight. So it's been amazing. So they say they've learned so much from me, but I've learned so much from them as well.
One of the things I liked about what you said was listening to what the world was telling you, because at that moment you didn't know whether you wanted to work with as a representative or through the gallery or own your own gallery. Mm-hmm. And instead you took what people were telling you and you ran with that, because you can't just go through life taking the singular path. You got to go where it leads you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so true, because, you know, like, maybe with what I've been telling you, like, I seem like someone who really goes with the flow and, you know, just left my job and went to Paris. But in reality, it was all super nerve-wracking for me, because, you know, I'm the kind of person who really, like, knows where she's going, and when she takes risk, it's calculated risk. And, you know, I have this plan and I know where I'm going. So, but at the same time, I realized that through experience, sometimes you just need to just let things go and see how they come together. Like, and they always, and now, because I have a little more experience, I realize that they always end up coming together in the best way possible. But it took me a while to figure that one out. So I was, you know, trying, the kind of person tries to push like her own plans, her own agenda, but doesn't work like that. And I failed, you know, a few times in my life because, you know, I had this vision and that's what I wanted. And I was, you know, hanging on to it so hard that I wasn't opening myself to other opportunities. And it's those times where I just open myself and just let things come to me that the best things happened. But that's like a long learning process. And I can't tell you that I've mastered it yet, but I'm working on it.
Can you talk about how your unique attributes and circumstances and background have helped you to stand out within the art community?
Oh, well, I mean, first, I think that the way I see the arts and the art market is not unique, like there's other people who see it that way, but it's kind of different from the traditional way. You know, I've worked in art galleries and I know that it's like in international art fairs, the art market is very opaque, right? There's not a lot of transparency there. It's very difficult to know actually what's going on. And although like art can be very contemporary and but the art market is quite traditional. And so there are really like preconceived notions from the first day that I started working in a gallery, like for me, my number one goal was that people that would come in the art gallery would feel welcome, would feel comfortable asking questions and would have fun being there, which was kind of unusual. And I've had so many people, you know, come to me and come back to the art gallery and end up buying art because they felt, you know, comfortable in the setting, which they weren't feeling in when they were visiting most galleries. So this idea of making art accessible and making it fun and not a snobbish thing that's just for the elite. I think that's also something I bring to the table with the artists I meet because I want them to really understand the market and find where they fit, right? Not mm-hmm. where they should fit or where they should be, but where they want to go because there's not just one path to being a successful artist. Like not every artist will get, you know, their retrospective at the MoMA at 50, you know, and it's mm-hmm. fine. Like it's not everybody's path and it shouldn't be. And you just need to find yours, what makes you happy and also where you can grow as an artist. And that I think is something that's pretty unique. And because of my corporate background, I'm bringing in this very structured approach to, okay, well, if you want this, then you got to make it happen, right? You got to leave the excuses at the door and make a plan and make it happen. Because in the corporate world, like people don't care about your excuses and they don't care how you're going to make it happen. You just need to make it happen, right? So that's also something that I bring to the table and something that, you know, I addressed in my blog on the Huffington Post about the mistakes that I often see artists make that are not helping their careers.
Yeah, that was a great article. Can you quickly go over some of those points?
Yeah, well, I mean, it was it was 7 points. And the first one was something I just touched on is the goal and the vision for your art career. Because, you know, when I talk to artists and I say, what do you want? It's a tough question. What do you want? And often the answer I get is, well, I want to sell my art. But that's not a vision. That's not a way to build a sustainable business. It's like if you ask me what you want and I tell you I want to make money, I want to get clients. Like that's not how you build a business. So you need to really understand what you want to do and where you fit in the market. So I think that's the first one. There are other items that I touched on my blog. I talked about storytelling because today with social media, I mean, there's so many opportunities to connect and network online, and storytelling, which is a huge part of your branding as an artist, is essential to build those relationships and really distinguish yourself and for people to really understand who you are, what you stand for, and what you're communicating through your art. And I find that when you look on social media on what are successful artists that are selling and have a large following, what really distinguish them from the others is really their capability through images and words to communicate that their brand and their storytelling. Another thing that I touched on is the idea that, you know, artists shouldn't promote themselves, that promotion is a bad thing. And that's something that we've been, you know, been told for such a long time, you know, selling is bad, selling, promoting, you know, and for a long time, artists could just rely on reps and gallery owners to do that selling and that promo for them, and they could just spend their days in the studio. But it's just not the way it is anymore. Even if you do work with a gallery, if you do work with reps, just getting into a gallery, I mean, you need to have a brand, you need to have a following, you need to have something that stands out. So the gallery will want to represent you. There will be something in it for them to represent you. So promoting yourself, it's not a bad thing. It's actually a really good thing. And I always laugh on my group when I hear like, okay, I'm going to do a little shameless promotion here. And I'm like, why is it okay for any business owner or entrepreneur to promote themselves? Like, we would expect that. Well, as an artist, you are your own entrepreneur, right? So why is it bad for you to promote yourself when you accept it from everybody else? So I come back with that often, and people are like, yeah, I know, you're right. But it's just like, it's so much in our culture, you know, to think that artists and, you know, if you're promoting yourself, you're a sellout, which I don't buy that at all. and a big mistake that I see is not following through and not following up. Because it's gonna be hard and it's gonna be work and you're gonna fall and you're gonna have to get up. And guess what? We all go through that. And if you don't follow through because you've tried it and it didn't work, it's, you know, you're going to have a little more tough skin than that because, yeah, we've all had failures and we all had to get up, and it's hard, I know. And that's why, you know, surrounding yourself, not being isolated, getting accountability, getting support, being part of a community, that's where the magic happens, and that's where it really makes a difference, because you're not alone and you realize that others have been through this, and it's just really like, you just need to do it, and you have other people to encourage you and let you know that you're not all doing this for nothing, that at some point something will happen, and it always does. By experience working with artists, like, those who follow through, who push, who do the work, they see results.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing holding not just artists back, but everybody back, is the mindset of the person. If you don't think you can do it, or you have certain ideas before you actually try to pursue things, you're ultimately going to fail, because you're not preparing yourself for success. You're preparing yourself to either stay stagnant or fail.
Well, definitely. And also, you know, we've been conditioned on that, you know, we shouldn't fail. Like, you need, like, we start school and there's like so much pressure, like you can't fail. You never, you don't have this option. And then you get a job and you can't fail. You can't make a mistake. Like you can't make a mistake. You can't fail. So we're conditioned like that. But when you become entrepreneur and when you start your own projects, you are gonna fail. Like it's inevitable. Like there are bigger fails than others. There are fails that have more consequences than others, but it's normal and it's okay. And it's how you get up after and you continue that will get you to succeed, right? It's not because you failed. Like read any bio of any successful entrepreneur and you'll get a list of their fails, like, and what made them succeed is after that 65 fails, they got up again, and that's when it happened, the magic happened.
Yeah, and it just doesn't pertain to artists, it's in every wake of life, I think. And
I think so. I think so, too. I think so, too, and I totally agree, but I would say that because maybe with artists, the thing is that it's just asking. Sometimes what I ask to them is such a huge way out of their comfort zone. And so, like you said at the beginning, that it's like, oh my God, like what you're asking me, like I like it's so out of my comfort zone. There's no way I can succeed, like from the get-go. Mm-hmm. And then I ask them, like, well, what's the worst that can happen? Let's try it and see. And ends up that really, like, it's not never ever the end of the world, you know? And you need to just take it step by step and have a long-term vision. Mm-hmm. And that's when it happens.
Can you talk a little bit about what you do with your work and the network that you've created?
So the network I've created, so I created that in June. It's basically a free Facebook group, the Artist Entrepreneur Network. And it's really a place where I give support and where really the ideas for artists together. So we're almost 7,000 in the group and really give support inside so that, you know, we have artists that are more experienced, others that are starting up. So there's really this like community of helping each other. We have themes every day. Like I said, on Thursday, we're thankful. On Mondays, we set goals for the week. And one thing I've started doing is on Tuesday, we have Tutorial Tuesday. And then almost every week, I have a guest expert coming in and they do a live Q&A on the thread. So they answer on a specific topic. So we've had people come in and help artists craft their bio and artist statement. I have a lawyer coming in next week to talk about copyright. We've had someone come and talk about art licensing. Even I had an expert coming about personal finances for artists. So we really have all these topics and great, great experts that come in to really support them. And on Fridays, we celebrate our week. So that's the work I do with my free group. I also develop a lot of content for them. So I've created the 7-step guide to building your art business and career. I've created a video series also on how to create a business plan for your art career. So all the people who join can have access to that content. And artists who are interested in going one step further, I work with them in the capacity of either one-on-one strategic consulting, or I've just launched a membership community called the Artist Entrepreneur Lab, which is a mix of community, training, and accountability in a group setting, which is very exciting, and we're That's really great. Something I'm really looking forward in building, the Artist Entrepreneur Lab. And I do have also a self-study program, which I call the Boot Camp, which is a 5-module series for artists who want to do a little more, dig a little more into marketing PR for their art business.
Hmm. I think the great thing about what you're doing is the giving aspect. Lots of people tend to look for how they can benefit themselves the most. So as artists, especially, like, how can I sell my work? But mm-hmm. what you really need to do is shift your mindset and figure out how can I benefit others through my work? Because that's
how can I be of service? Right. Yes. Yes. Oh, you are absolutely right. And that's something I learned. Like, I get it's, and it's, you're right that it's such a, it's unusual. And, you know, some people I come across are even, they're like, where's the catch? You know, like, I've had people sign up to my video series and then email me and say, is this really free? I'm like, yes, it is. And I just wrote an email to my community yesterday about, you know, like, I'm doing all of this because I want to do it, because I think it's valuable. And also, like, I'm being completely transparent because it makes good business sense for me. Because if I'm able to show you, if I'm able to show you everything that I know, I want to share my knowledge. My knowledge is I'm happy to share it. I'm happy to share it for free and show you the tools and everything you need to know. And then you do what you want with it. If you're able to take it and just hit the ground running and go with it and do it all by yourself, wonderful. My experience is that at some point, you're going to maybe hit a roadblock and you're going to want to get support. And whether it's through a group setting or a more fast paced one-on-one, I'm here to support you. And all the time I tell my community, I don't really mind if you don't work with me. Like, for me, it's not about working with me. It's about finding support. So if you find support with another, within an artist group in your community, or you have a friend who owns a business who can be your mentor, that's fine. But doing it all by yourself is usually not the right way to go about. You need to surround yourself with people who are going to support you.
Mm-hmm. It's hard to take any task on by yourself. So the idea of this, you know, lone genius is really outplayed, and they've actually figured out that most of those people who you consider to be lone geniuses aren't actually. They worked with different communities, and, you know, they were up to date with all the other people that surrounded them. So there's no real lone.
No, and if you look, all the great artists, even like you go in art history, you study art history, it's been centuries that artists have been working with a team. Mm-hmm. They had a team. Like, they weren't doing it all by themselves, you know? They had apprentices, they had assistants, they had people to surround them, you know? They had business partners. So this is not a new concept to not be by yourself. And if you want to grow, you need to be in contact with other people. I mean, we live in society, and if you want to sell your work to people, then you have to surround yourself with people, right? You need to network. You need to build, you know, a network around you, and that a support network, but also a network and a following of people who are going to want to know more about you, what you do, and how you can be of service to them, and how you can support them, and how you can communicate who you are and what you stand for. Hmm.
If you're an artist and you want to stand out, what are three things that you can do to take yourself from where you are to where you want to be?
I would say the first thing is be really clear on what, like, who you are and what you have to offer and what you stand for, like your brand, basically. So that's the first thing. You need to define that and be really able to communicate it and have that message that comes across. So you really need to master that, who you are and what you stand for and what you want to communicate. And then the second thing is you need to be very clear on who you want to communicate it to, right? Mm-hmm. Because your art, it's not for everyone and it shouldn't be. So you need to figure out who it is for so that you can really reach out and connect with these people. And I would say the third part is really to build an audience of these people who are the right fit for you, who will become your fan, who will see value in being in contact with you. So it's building that audience by being there and building those relationships with that target. I like to call them the target collectors, like those people who will become your fans and ultimately your buyers.
I know you got to go soon, so I'm going to jump to the last couple of questions.
Sure.
What is your favorite quote?
Oh, yeah, I love that question. So I wanted to – I looked because there are so many and having to choose one. And when I thought about this, I said I just immediately fell on this one. I was like, oh, yeah, that's the one I want to say because it just really – it really – brings together everything we talked about today. And it's from Pablo Picasso, and it's action is the foundational key to all success. And that's something I truly believe in. Because like at the end of the day, if you don't take action, nothing's going to happen. Yeah. And when you take action, something's going to happen. It might be good. It might be bad. But it's going to give you a sense of direction, and it's ultimately going to lead to adjusting and then getting you to the success that you want.
Do you have any recommendations for books or documentaries, podcasts, anything?
Okay, so I'm really old school, so I have books. I have one, Kevin. I'm sure that I'm not the first one to recommend it, The War of Art. Mm. So I'm sure you have other people who've recommended this one, but Stephen Pressfield is like, I read it. I'm on my way to read it again. Like it's something that I've never get bored of reading. I really like The Power of Habit by Charles, I don't know how to pronounce his last name.
Duhigg.
Yeah, him. So that's a good one to read too. And for those, okay, so when I work with artists, I say like, okay, you need to understand the market. So you need to know, you need to do your research, because if you don't understand the industry, then you'll never know where you want to be in that industry. And one book I really like, which is kind of raw, and it really tells it to you like it is, but it's kind of fun to read, is The 12 Million Stuffed Shark. The Curious Economics of Contemporary Art by Don Thompson. Hmm. And it's a really, really good read.
Interesting. I'll have to check that one out.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's really about really like the high-end, blue-chip, contemporary art, of course. But even if you do want to do more small-scale, local art or crafts, you still need to understand what the big guns are doing, right? So that one will give you a good idea.
Awesome. Who is one person that you know personally who is extremely creative and one person you don't know personally?
Well, I tried to think about that and I couldn't come up with something because I think everyone is so, like, is creative in one way or the other. Like, you can't put someone in a mold and say this person is creative and this one isn't, because like when you take the time to get to know yourself and give yourself a chance, like everybody has a creative outlet one way or the other. So I think the people, like I can't name names, but I think the people who are maybe not creative, if there's one thing I've noticed with those who have difficulty with creativity, are the people who seek perfection. That's what something I was thinking about, because when you seek perfection, you're stopping yourself because you're not trying anything. And it's really when you try things and you're letting yourself be creative that magic happens. But if you're always seeking perfection, which doesn't exist, then you're from the get-go setting a block. Mm-hmm. So I think creativity is in all of us, and it's, yeah, like everyone I know, I can see that there's so much creativity. I love looking at my kids because they don't care like if it's mm-hmm. perfect or not. They're just, because they're playing, right? And we should all, you know, take some time to just watch children play, because they just go with the flow and let it come and let it happen, instead of stopping themselves because it's not perfect. And then us adults, we come in and we say, no, your son, it has to be yellow and it has to be on top and not on the bottom. And that's when they start getting self-conscious. But when you let them go, it's extraordinary to see how their creativity goes.
That leads perfectly into my last question, which is, what is your definition of creativity and what can people do to be more creative?
Yes. So I think that creativity is being your true self, like being authentic and giving yourself that space to express your unique voice, because we all have something to say and our creativity is channeled in different ways, but we all have it in us, but we don't necessarily give ourselves this chance to express it. And I know personally that when I started my business, I thought I had to fit into this mold and I had to be like, the way I communicated, it had to be, you know, I was used to this corporate voice, which wasn't my voice. Huh. And when I really started being more open and vulnerable and honest and really say things the way I really felt them and the way I really saw them and just let my voice be heard, that's when it's actually started resonating with people around me and with artists. And when artists come to me and say, well, what kind of art should I do to sell? And I'm like, oh no, you can't create art, your art with it, the intention of selling it, because no one's going to buy it. People are going to buy it because they're invested in you, right? Because they love you and your work. So once you are really authentic and you have this, you let your voice, your own personal voice, that's when the magic and the creativity really happens. And I think that what can you do to be more creative? It's just, first you have to give yourself a chance. I mean, you need to, it doesn't happen overnight and it takes practice. I actually wrote an article this fall about what entrepreneurs can learn about from artists, you know, what traits that entrepreneurs to be more successful can learn from artists. And one thing I said is artists, they exercise creativity like if it was like a muscle, right? Mm-hmm. So you have to exercise it all the time and you just need to take action. And that's what the war of art tells you. You can't just wait for this, you know, illumination to happen and wait for that inspiration. You just need to try things and accept that, you know, it's masterpiece is not going to come on the first day and or on the first draft, or maybe not on the first business idea. But it's through trial and giving yourself a chance and taking action that at some point you're going to get to where you want to go.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Thanks for coming on. It's been really awesome talking to you, Catherine. Do you have a challenge that you want to pose to the audience?
Oh, a challenge. I love that. A challenge. Well, I mean, I would say that I would invite all your listeners to identify one thing that they know that they should be doing, but they're not doing. Probably because it's because it's asking them to get out of their comfort zone. And usually that one thing that you're not doing, but you know you should be doing, and you know exactly, if you're listening, you know exactly what that thing is. You know you should be doing, but you're not. You're procrastinating, and you're finding all these excuses not to do it. I'd like you to sit down, to write it down, and to decide on one action you're going to take this week to move forward with that thing that you know that you should be doing, but you're not doing.
Awesome. Where can people find you online and keep up to date with all your stuff?
Yeah, well, I'd love to have people come on to my website, which is theartistentrepreneur.co. They can download my 7-step guide to building your art business and career and get on the Artist Entrepreneur Network. It's my free community of artists on Facebook.
Awesome. Well, Catherine, this has been great talking to you. I would love to have you on again. I don't think we got to touch on everything that could be talked about.
I have so much to share. Thank you so much for having me, Kevin. It's been a true pleasure.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
And that's it for the 53rd episode of Cracking Creativity. For show notes, go to crackingcreativity.org/53. If you like this episode, subscribe to the show on iTunes at crackingcreativity.org/subscribe. Also, feel free to write a review or leave me a comment about the show. Hope this stoked creative fires, and I'll see you next time on Cracking Creativity.